Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Yes, so basically what I'm going to speak on today is love. Okay, now I'm sure we've all heard 10,000 love messages before. We've all been told how much we need to love, and we all know that love is synonymous with Christianity. And we could probably quote Corinthians 1:13-4, right? We all know, we've all been to weddings, we've all heard it, we all know it, right? What I think can sometimes happen is that we try to love. We try to step out in love. We try to make a difference. We try and love our families more, love others more. And we can keep that up for a certain amount of time, but before long, we return to normal. We just return to being ourselves, and we find it hard to step out in that again. It can be almost like a weakness. We see it can almost, it's because we put ourselves out there and we get hurt or something happens, and then we struggle to do it again. So as Christians, sometimes what can happen is we can get involved. We try and love in other ways, right? So we try and get more involved in actions of love, which is a great thing, which is so important. We get more involved with the church. We get involved in the ministry, involved in the music team. We give of our money. We tithe. We do these things that are a part of love, and it almost removes that burden from us. And so the next time somebody like me comes up and speaks a sermon on love, you can sit there and you can think, "Oh yeah, well, I got that covered. I'm a loving person. I do this. I do that. I do all these things. I don't have to feel guilty about the fact that I'm probably not loving enough." And, sorry, I'm just getting this right. So what happens is that we try and love. We realize that we can't quite, we can't keep it up, right? We can't keep that up. Some of the problems with us and love can be the fact that we don't really understand how we're supposed to be. We don't realize what we're supposed to be as Christians. We get caught up in the prosperity message, or we get caught up in all the parts of church that come with being a Christian. And this can be complicated at times. There's so many different facets, faith, believing for things. You know, all these things are important, but we forget about the little, we forget exactly about who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be. Sometimes we don't notice our unloving actions, or we condone our unloving actions, right? Certain things in our lives can hinder our ability to love. There can be something in your life which is stopping that ability to be able to really love, to be able to really show other people the love of God. Or we just can't help ourselves. We can't love. We just can't make it happen. We just keep getting angry. We keep getting mad. We keep putting our foot in it all the time. And I'm sure we've all heard of the love languages, right? If I remember, you know, things like affirmation, words of love, there's touch. What else is there? Any gifts?
Acts of service.
Exactly. So they're like the five love languages. And they're all important. They're all really necessary. But as Christians, I think there's two types of love we really need to focus on. And one is the love that radiates from our heart, that love that just comes out, right? So it doesn't matter who you're talking to, which direction you're facing, that love comes out of your heart. And the second one is actions of love. Giving of your time, being involved in ministry, helping others, You know, all those little things that go with giving. And sometimes we can have one half but not the other, right? And so it's really important that we try and work on both of those. I remember my dad used to tell me this story about his uncle. His uncle, I've met him before, very nice man, but he owned a concrete company. And one day, one of his workers said to him, he said, look, my wife's having a baby tomorrow. Can I have the day off? And Brian said, what are you, a gynecologist? And so, he said, no, basically, you can come to work tomorrow. And then a few weeks later, he saw this guy walking along and he went up to him and said, hey, how are you? So how's your kid going? He goes, good, sir. And he said, well, it's hot out your way, isn't it? And he said, yes, it does get hot. It gets very hot out there. And so Brian sent his team out there and put in an in-ground swimming pool for him. And that was so his way of showing love, okay? Sometimes we show actions of love. We do things for people, but we don't have the other half. We don't have the love that radiates out of our hearts, right? I know my own father, for instance, loved my father, couldn't have hoped for a better father. But, you know, I grew up mainly just with him. And he would come home after work all day, he'd cook dinner, he'd make sure you had lunch. If you needed some money, he'd give you some money. He would do all these things, but it was possible at times to feel sort of unloved because I guess he didn't possess the other half, the love that just radiates out. He sort of wasn't able to put his arm around you and say, you know, how you going sort of thing, you know, you going okay. But and sometimes people, like I know with my own kids, it's like my kids can say, Dad, when are you going back to work again? You know, because I come home sometimes and I'm cranky. I'm angry. I'm trying to do all these things, and I think why would you say that? Like I feed you, I take you to the park, I do all these things for you, yet I don't necessarily have that radiation love, the love that just comes out where I'm just the peace that I'm able to bless them with, and so all those other things they will seem when they're old and they sit down and think about it, but I can almost be seen as unloving just because I'm feeling half of that, right? So how are we meant to be? Now, we know as Christians, we've got to be ourselves because if you try and be something you're not, it just won't work. It's fake. People will see you as fake. It's not going to work. And as soon as you go back behind closed doors, you're going to be yourself. And so you start living this lie, you start living this different life. We've got to be ourselves. No one else can be you. So be yourself. Be yourself in life. That's how you're going to be the strongest that you can. And we can't live up to people's expectations. How often have you tried to show people the love of God and you're working, you do all these things, and then you do one mistake, you put your foot in it, or you say something and you hear this, I thought you were a Christian, right? And that's what happens. We can't feel people's expectations of what we're supposed to be. The world wants to put us in a box. They want to put us in a box. They want to say, this is what you are. They want to wrap you up in it. They want to put a tag on it. So then anything you do that's different, anything that you can't surprise them because they've boxed you up. They said, no, this is what you are. This is what you're supposed to be. And if you do anything different, well, no, that's not acceptable. I can remember when the census came out a few years back and one of the questions in the census was, what religion are you? And then when you put your religion, you had to put, what type of Christian are you? And me being me, I just sort of said, well, I'm a Christian. And then there was a little box at the bottom and I said, Christian. That's what I am. And because I will go to a Pentecostal church all the days, I'm sure of it. I'm you know, but when I don't like people trying to put me in a box. I don't like people trying to contain me. And I know the guys at work, I did the same thing. They said, oh, what kind of Christian are you? What are you? What are you? This, that. And I said, no, I'm just a Christian. I go, what type of church do you go to? And I said, well, I just go to a Christian church. Go to a little Christian church. And they're scratching their heads and they're thinking, well, this is... they don't know what to expect from me now. And that's good. That's how I like it. They can't contain me. And yeah, so, and maybe that's not the right way to do it, but I just hate it when people try and put you in a box, right? And the point is that, you know, the devil wants to reduce our ability to be dynamic. One of the hardest things today about life, about spreading the gospel, is everyone's got an opinion about Christianity. It would have been so much easier going somewhere where people didn't know about Jesus. We could just walk around and teach them about God and they'd be, oh yeah, cool. Yeah, right. But as soon as you speak about Christianity these days, everyone's got a preconceived idea. It's tough times here in the Western world. It's tough times when it comes to Christianity because a lot of those preconceived ideas are now negative. They're now negative. But you know what? No matter how much they try and put you in a box, no matter how much you try and talk yourself out of that box, you're not going to be able to do it. That's the problem. But love can't be contained. Love cannot be contained. It can't be boxed, right? And love will always be dynamic. And so we've got to remember how we're supposed to be. Just love. Just love. Just give. Just love. And it cuts through. It cuts through all those preconceived ideas and things. Just be a loving person in life. If we can just turn to Matthew 5:20 quickly. You know, sometimes we get caught up in all these things we're supposed to do. We get caught up and we've got to have faith. We've got to believe. These are all important things. We get caught up in where we're supposed to be and what we want to do and in the position we want to get to. We get caught up in church politics. Church politics. We become churchy, right? But we forget to just be a good bloke. We forget to just be a good person. Just be a good bloke. See, one thing we got to realize is that we live in Australia. This is Australia. We need to affect Australians, not Europeans, not Australian people, people in Australia, which means that we've got to realize the Australian culture, okay? That doesn't mean we do things that they do that aren't godly. That's not the point I'm making. But we do things, some things in Australian culture today are good, are godly things. Some things they do, right? There are a lot of problems in the world today. There are a lot of problems. But there are still a lot of good things in the world today. Look at our welfare. Today, kids that have problems get help, right? That's a godly thing. That's a godly thing, right? People have an idea of treating each other with respect. You don't rip somebody off. You don't steal from people, okay? If you're going to sell something, it's regarded in Australia to sell it at a good price. Don't rip people off. But God wants to bless me though, so I'm putting the top dollar on my product. Or should I bless somebody else and give them a good price for it, right? That's Australian culture. This is what the people in Australia see as good. So if they see us as Christians doing these things, being what is classed as a good person, it resonates within them, okay? It resonates within them. Your neighbour's outside. Go out and say g'day. That's what Australians do. You talk to your neighbour. You get involved in the community. Something's going on down the street. Go and get involved in it, you know? Sit with other people at work, wherever. These are all things that Australians class is good, right thing to do, okay? Mow your lawn. Look after your house. Make it look okay. Doesn't have to be perfect, but keep it looking okay. Your neighbour's bin's left out. They've gone away. It's Tuesday night. Put their bin in for them. You know? Do the little things that Australians do that are godly, that are good, so that they can see that in you and they can class you as a good person, right? Matthew 5:20 says this, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness, uprighteousness, moral essence, is more than that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." So basically what that's saying is that it has to be equal plus more. So not only do we do these things, we do more. We add to them. We do extra. That's how we're supposed to be, church. That's what God's called you to be. That's what we're supposed to be. Good people. Good people. Godly people. I think it was Keith who said a little while ago, he said that there's these organisations out there that are giving, helping kids in need. They're helping the homeless. They're doing all these things. And he said, you know what? That's our job. And that's true. Church, that's our job. That's our job to do those things. We need to do what the world does, which is good, not which is bad. We don't want to sit down there and do things to please them which aren't godly. No, that's not the point I'm making. But we need to do the things they do that are good, that are godly, plus more. Then add to them. Okay? You know, and sure, we're going to fall short of things. We can't be perfect. People are always going to pin us. But as long as we continue in love, it doesn't matter. As long as you've got love coming out of your heart, as long as you're loving, you'll cut through all that stuff. You'll cut through all those things, right? Mercy, you know, mercy. We as Christians should be the most merciful, right? No one should be more merciful than us. We should have a heart for the disabled kid. We should have a heart for the person in jail. We should want to help them. We should never say, oh, look at that guy, he's a bit weird. That shouldn't be our attitude. We should say, oh, look at that guy, he needs love. This guy needs love. No one else wants to be his friend, I'll be his friend. No, I don't care. I don't have to be up there with the important people. I'll be down there with him. That's the Christian attitude. That's what Jesus did. You know, you don't want to be in the in crowd. Some churches have an in crowd, right? And then the poor guy walks in that's just looking for God, just needs a touch of the Spirit. Nobody really recognizes him. He gets lost. You know, that could be Jesus walking in, right? Love the less, love the least, love the one who needs it most. Respect and honour. Respect and honour is a type of love. The world today doesn't respect and honour. I don't care if you don't like Donald Trump. If you're an American, you shouldn't be putting down every chance you get Donald Trump. He's your president. You should be respecting him and honouring him. It makes me sick the way Americans put down their leader. All right, he's not our leader, fair enough. But if you're an American, he's the leader. The Bible speaks that God appoints leaders. Okay? All you ever hear is disgusting, sickening attitudes of dishonor and disrespect against their president. I hope it doesn't bring something bad upon them. I really do. You know, I went up to respect and honor is a part of love. If you want to love somebody that is older than you, or if you want to love anybody, respect and honour will help you to do so. Love them with respect and honour. I went up to Townsville to an army reunion with my father, fought in Vietnam, and so I had to go to a reunion. And the army's incredible. Like, I don't know how many people have actually had an inside look at the army, but the Australian army, it's actually Christian-based, but it's one thing that I love about the army is the respect and honour that they're taught, that they have in the army. And they know that that's what they need. With everything that's changed in the world, they are still the same in that respect, what they were then as what they were 50 years ago. Because they know that in order to be a good army, in order to be a successful army, they need respect and honour. They get rid of respect and honour and they're just going to be a team of, you know, no good. So just going to get, there's going to be no order whatsoever. They'd get smashed in a war situation, right? So they hold on to their respect and honour. At this thing we went to, I have never seen such respect and honour. There's a thing called a lieutenant colonel. That's one of the highest positions in the army. And this man basically, because it was the older guys that had fought in the wars before, they were showing such honour and respect to these guys, my father and the people that were with him. They clapped them as they marched by. They showed, they waited for them before and let them have dinner first. They called them sir. They showed them respect in every way. After the dinner we went to, the lieutenant colonel, now this is a guy that has got thousands of men that call him sir. Thousands of men that call him sir. As he got into the car, my sister, my brother and my father were standing waiting for a cab. He got into the cab, he opened himself up and he said, "Thank you for coming. I hope you have a good week." He opened himself up like that and then got into the car. That is incredible. That is something. That is the highest level of respect and honour I've ever seen. And the point I'm trying to make is that because we were the family of somebody that had fought before him and done something before he had done, then he respected his whole family. He respected everybody in the family of that person. So that respect and honour went further, okay? Respect and honour is something we need to remember. It's something that if you respect and honour a boss, you will do well with that boss, okay? You want to do well at work? Respect and honour your boss, okay? I'm not saying I've always done it, and I'm not saying I'm perfect in this way. But if you want to go far, if you want to do well at work, respect and honour your boss, all right? So our love needs to exceed the world. We have to do the good things the world does, plus more, okay? Let's not become too churchy. Church, you know, we're not in heaven yet, right? We've got a world to affect. We've got a world to welcome. Okay, it's not all about the church. The church is so important. I love the church. But we have a world to affect, right? Sometimes we don't notice our unloving actions or we condone our loving actions. Proactive love. Proactive love. You know, sometimes we can think that we are loving. We are. I haven't reacted badly at all today to anything. I haven't. But what have I given? What have I given? What have I given to my family? What have I given to the room where we're all sitting around in the room? Did I give something? Did I do something to bring the atmosphere of that room up a little? Or did I just sit there in my own little world and not give a thing? See, love is like a gift. You give it to somebody. Somebody needs it, but you go and give it to them. You know, you're saying, "You look mighty fine today. I love the way you shaved your beard. That looks great. You're a lovely bloke." Love is giving of something. Okay, have you ever walked into a shop and somebody's happy? "Hi, how you going? Would you like this? Would you like that? No worries, see you later." And you walk in, you just feel good. You feel good. They've just blessed you with something, you know. Love gives. Love has to be proactive. Not just, you know, and sometimes we just don't realise that we're not being loving, right? Sometimes, and I know this is one I fall into, is that somebody needs something. They need something. But instead, we take from them. We take from them instead. I'm feeling a little bit sick and tired. I don't feel like getting out of bed this morning. And we sort of, get out of bed and stop being lazy. Don't be so lazy. You never do anything, right? I'm being loving. I'm being strong loving. I'm telling you, I'm giving you a hand, right? When all that person is, they need something. They don't need to be taken away from. They don't need to be stolen from. What they need is, "Oh, that's okay. Look, everything's all right, you're doing well, you know, give them something. And then they'll probably get out of bed, you know. Love needs to be proactive, proactive love. Love has the ability to see when somebody's not at their best. Love notices that somebody's struggling at the back of the room. And love has the strength to go up and give them something, to add something to them. Right? You know, sometimes we can, you get this tussle, right? So you've got the person that expects too much from a person. Expects too much. So-and-so didn't even say hello to me this morning. The pastor hasn't said good day to me for 3 weeks. You know? Somebody hasn't rang me for a few days. We get home and, why is this place such a mess? Why haven't you done anything today? All you do is sit here and do nothing. When all day they've been doing stuff, busy as. You just haven't asked them what they've been doing yet. Or the husband that's sitting there, tired. Same thing. Wife might have a go. You always sit around. You never do anything. You know, sometimes we expect too much from people. We expect too much. We don't realize. See, love has the ability to reason and to understand that people have other things going on in their lives. Love has the ability to realize that somebody might have their own problems. The reason they're not being so nice and generous to you is because they're struggling with stuff, right? And then on the same note, sometimes we really can be insensitive and we really can reject people. You know, we really can be on the other side of that, you know? And the worst thing we can do in that situation is condone it. The worst thing that you can do, have you ever been in that situation where you find out somebody's angry with you because you didn't do something for them and you think, well, stuff them, right? You think, well, that's their fault. That's their problem that they're angry with me because it wasn't my fault. You know, you might be right, but you could lose a friend, right? You might be right, you could lose a husband. You could lose a wife. If you've done something that's upset somebody else, don't condone it. Don't condone it. Just fix it. Just try harder. Just love, right? Try and make amends of that. Love hindrances. A love hindrance is lack of empathy. It's a little thing I like. I know. You never know until you've been there before, right? You never know what a person is going through unless you've experienced it yourself. And it's not our fault that we don't have experience. But most problems we deal with in life, we haven't been there. We probably haven't experienced them. If we have, okay, that's going to make it a bit easier. But sometimes we haven't. I remember on Rima FM, I used to love listening to it on my way to work years ago. I haven't heard it for a long time. And there'd be this guy that would come on and preach and give a message most mornings. And I always enjoyed his message. It was always a good message. And I remember one morning he was speaking about anxiety. And he basically just said, well, just don't be scared. Just don't be scared. Look, the Bible says to whatever it says about don't be scared. The Bible says have faith. And the Lord has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and joy and a sound mind. That's it. You know, that was his answer. But if you've been there before, if you've experienced anxiety before, you know that there's not just one answer for anxiety. A lot of things in life, the same goes. There's not just one simple answer. Okay? We can't be dismissive of people just because we don't understand them. Back in my day, that didn't happen, right? Back in my day, what are your kids doing? Why are you letting your kids behave in that way? We think we'd be dismissive. We think that everybody should be like we are, right? Everybody should do the things that we should do. We lack empathy. We need to empathize with people, understand, look deeper beneath, understand more of what they're going through, and then we can help them. And then we can love them. And then we can give to them. Right? Pride. Pride is probably the biggest hindrance to love that I can think of. I know Kenneth Copeland used to say that patience and faith were power twins. He used to love having his little power twins. They go together. Well, love and pride are opposites. You can't, if you've got pride, you won't be able to love. And so, if ever you've got a problem with love, if you're struggling to love for some reason, check yourself for pride. Check yourself for pride. It creeps in, gets in there, gives you attitudes. Pride goes before a fall. Have pride, that's fine. But be aware that you're about to fall if you've got it. Pride says me, right? Pride says me. Humility says you. Humility gives us the ability to think of others, to want to help others, to get on their level, to understand, to want to know more about them, right? Hurt. You know, sometimes people have gone through something that is so deep, cut them so deep, that they're just unable to love. They're just unable to reach out. They're hurt. In my experience, I've met so many men that are affected from broken marriage. For some reason, mainly men who are just smashed by it. You know, it's happened to me time and time after again. Men who are hurt because for some reason or another, a wife or a close girlfriend or whatever, left them for another bloke. And it's a common thing. And it's taken from them. It's stolen from them. They're not able to get past it. They're stuck in it, even though it happened 15 years ago, right? You know, if anybody ever feels like that, then church, we should be the place for them to come. We should be the place to bring them peace, to help them through these kind of things. They should come to the church once and know where it is they need to be to find healing in that area. That's what God wants us to be. A loving place, a place with love, a place where people can find healing. You know, we get so caught up sometimes in religious things. I know, like Joey said this morning, and I liked it, he said, you can stand, you can sit, you can stand on your head, you can dance. Great. You mean I don't have to stand? Do I have to stand? You know, we, as a Christian church, Pentecostal church, we still have a lot of religious things about our church. You know, what I loved last week was that there was a time where everybody was just doing something else. And that's when the prophet can go around and prophesize over people, right? That's when you can go and see how somebody's going, even if the music is going. So Joey's up here praising the Lord. Why can't somebody be over here praying for somebody? Somebody's over here prophesying. Because we don't get a lot of time otherwise. You come to church, we stand there, we sing, we praise, we sit, we stand, we hear the sermon and we go home. We have a little chat afterwards. There's not a lot of ministry. There's not a lot of moving of the Spirit going on between people. The prophetic ministry has to flourish every week. He can't just go over to people's houses and prophesy. He needs to be able to prophesy here in the church. So many times I've come to church and I wanted a word. I've wanted a word and I haven't got one. So many times, you know. The prophecy is an important part of the church. So we want to be able to move in the church, have that freedom in the church. Who cares if people are doing things that are different? We can still, let's get rid of those religious ways, church, right? So the church needs to be a place where people can come and feel the love of God, where people can come and feel loved. That's what we're supposed to be, church. That's what we're supposed to be. Okay, love even when it doesn't suit us. This point refers to the type of love that radiates from our heart, that comes out of us, that radiates from us. To be able to love even when we're not in the mood to be able to love even when things aren't going right, right? I remember I was at work a little while ago and I was rushing around and I just wanted to eat. It was like 10:30. I think I started at 6. I was hungry. I'm driving around in my truck and looking for somewhere to eat, and I'm all flustered, and there's a hamburger shop. Yep, that'll do. Pulled in, got out, got me hamburger, got me chips, went out. There's a little cool little spot sitting out there, beautiful, comfortable chair. Oh, this is great. I'll sit here and eat lunch. So I'm sitting there and eating my lunch. Next minute, this bloke comes out and he goes, oh, hey, mate, it's much nicer up the back here if you want to sit up here with me. And I've just gone, no, thanks, mate. No, I don't have long. And I had like half an hour. But I just didn't, I just wanted to eat my lunch. I just wanted to talk. I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to know about him, basically. And I could tell that he was sort of, oh, okay, yeah, right. And so I just ate my lunch, and then I was all flustered, and I thought, oh, you know, and ended up not even staying the whole half an hour. Got in my truck, drove off. But basically, I felt bad. I felt guilty. I thought, far out, you know. What if God wanted me to say something to that guy? What if I could have just been his mate? What if I just lost a mate, you know, from what I just did? And the point I'm making is that sometimes we can get ourselves into the flesh mode. I like to call it the flesh mode. And the thing is, you need to know when you're in the flesh mode, because it's not necessarily the sin, it's the fact that you're about to sin. You need to know when you're in that place where, look, something, if somebody reacts to me at the moment, if something happens, I'm going to tell them I'm going to do something wrong, okay? And what we need to be in at that time is the spirit mode. We need to be in the spirit mode. See, the word says, it says, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And sometimes I think we struggle with that. We've heard that so many times. We think, all right, I'll walk in love. I'll walk in peace. I'll walk in faith. But what it actually means is that just get your heart. I don't know how to explain it, how I've learned how to do it, because I'm still working at it, by the way. But you can just sort of take a step back when you feel like that and say, because we've all got Jesus in our hearts, right? All of us here, I don't know if there's anyone not saved here. And just make that connection with the presence of God in your heart. Just make that connection. Something's going wrong. Something's really annoying you.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.